The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the whole internet. I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen, and it's a beautiful day for a podcast. But can I tell you, in all reality, it's not.
Oh. Oh,
no. I've just had a while. I mean, it is a beautiful day. At the end of the day, or...
At the middle of the day, which is right
now. At the middle
of
the day. I guess the point is, you know, you wake up in the morning. Life is a gift, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when we... Fuck.
Oh, my.
Did you just hear that? Shit.
Yeah.
I just kicked my own microphone stand. I'm so sorry. Sorry. We're doing great. Especially this episode, right? Like, life is a gift. Who knew? Who knew we'd go right back into... Well, you guys knew. All you listeners out there knew.
Yeah, most of us knew.
Let's put a trigger warning. Trigger warning at the top of the episode, right?
Yeah. Gun violence.
Gun violence. Traumatic experiences.
Before we start, I want to say this. We know and fully believe that gun violence is horrific and bad.
Yes.
And also... This is a comedy podcast. We're not making jokes about gun violence. We are just making jokes. Gun violence is bad. There should be gun control. That is what we believe.
Yes.
We just want to make that very clear.
I believe that Kelsey and I both would have F ratings from the NRA. So.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, they can go fuck themselves because I actually don't give a shit what they think about me. So.
Yeah.
I am only mad that they exist. So.
So to be clear, and thank you. Because I think we said that for the Gary Clark episode, too. We're like, hey, trigger warning, but like also we're going to make jokes because ultimately dark humor seems to be something that
we
both thrive. But let me tell you about my morning today. So I was having someone do a custom guitar for me, correct?
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he's had it for a month. It's supposed to be a 10-day project. Texted me this weekend. Hey, it's done. Let's do this. And I was like, okay, perfect. So we scheduled, we were texting last night, and I was like, hey, tomorrow, 10 a.m. And he's like, yes, dope, love it, perfect, confirmed. Got there today, a little bit early for me, of all people. Right.
The only time you're ever early.
I know. And then I sat there for 2 hours, and he didn't respond. 2 hours.
Oh, my God, I would have been so mad.
So I got coffee, which was fine.
Love the city.
Yeah. But it wasn't like I wasn't downtown. I was in like an outskirt. I could still see the Sears Tower from where I was at. Like it was very close. It is. It's Chicago proper.
More, yeah.
But it was like an outskirt area. I wasn't downtown in the loop. But anyways, so an hour goes by or like 40 minutes go by. And I'm like, OK, I don't know what's going on. He isn't responding to my texts, my calls. So I start watching the episode. After I go get it, because when I got there early, like 10 minutes early, I got a cup of coffee and I'm like, it's like a boutique chain, Chicago owned. Mm-hmm. And they actually had a chocolate that they had entered into an Italian chocolate festival and it won third place in the entire world. So I got a bar of this chocolate. Yeah.
Supportive.
Yeah. So
was it life changing?
I'm waiting until tonight so I can share it
with
Jessica.
That's fair. That's so kind of you. I'm very proud of you for making decision.
Thank you. But it's, I think the name of the place was called Sleepwalker, Sleepwalker Coffee or something like that in Chicago. So wonderful service. But anyway, so like after I get the cup of coffee, I start watching the episode. So I'm in my car, I'm watching it on my phone, and Netflix, the app, is great because it's kind of like how YouTube is now, where you can have it on your phone, little mini box.
Picture in picture.
Yeah, so I'm doing the picture in picture, which isn't like a great way to watch this episode.
Because I've had to do it as well.
Yeah. So I'm taking notes, and that's why when I texted you, all my notes were like very chronological. It would have been really tough to go through like bullet point
to
by bullet point.
Go up and down, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, like 2 hours goes by. So I finish watching the episode, and Jess is like, I'm worried about you, blah, 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 that sucks. And I'm like, first off, I'm in my car, like it's fine. Like, it's all good. And it was a little bit rainy outside, but I went and got tacos as well.
Living the dream. But
honestly, the tacos were just mediocre. I was kind of disappointed.
Wow. What a bad
so, like,
day.
It was, yeah. It was actually, do you remember when we were in Paris and we went to that one restaurant where it was like cafeteria style and we ordered our food? Yeah. It was like that, but for a Mexican restaurant and tacos.
An interesting
But
choice.
I told them what I wanted. I'd never been there before. So it was right next to the place. So I'm glad I tried it. And then on top of that, the menu price didn't match what I paid, and they're like not doing anything. They're like, do you still want the tacos? And I was like, yeah, I still want the fucking tacos, dude. Like, I'm hungry. Today's not my day. So anyways, he responded 3.5 hours later after I'd gotten home. I went to Costco and picked up a couple steaks because we got some friends coming over tonight for dinner. And I wanted to say a lot of things that I just said, dude, I'm gone. I waited 2 hours, and I haven't responded to him yet. I gotta let that just marinate, but I'll just send you a picture of the guitar because it looks sick. Like, it looks incredible, and I was really excited to have it tonight to show to my friends who are coming over for dinner, and I won't have it, so.
I'm sorry that happened to you, but I'm glad that you had some coffee.
Yeah,
maybe that chocolate bar would make it all worth it.
Maybe. It was like an $8 bar of chocolate. So
you're supporting local business.
Yeah. Anyways, so that's my stuff. I don't know if you have a story that you want to share. Wait, how's your dog's balls? Lack of balls. Empty balls.
They still, like, are there. Because, like, as you recall with Grievous.
Yep.
After Grievous got fixed and I was at your house and I said, why does your dog still have balls? And then you asked the vet and she was like, oh, they just take out the middle bit and they leave like the skin, which is very bizarre. They definitely look different because like they're still like hanging there. And I'm like, this is so bizarre and I hate it. But he's doing okay. It's been a week now. Grievous was about the same age. Yeah.
Yeah. Watson pretty close.
Like 8 or 9 months.
We did like 8 or 9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like so much still a puppy and like does not feel like he needs to chill and relax post-surgery.
Mm-hmm.
The pain medicine, well, he's off the pain meds now, but it was like it would stone him, but it wouldn't like fully knock him out. So then he was just like wandering aimlessly. He has the big plastic cone on.
Yes.
We got the inflatable ring thing instead because he hates the plastic. He's trying to eat the plastic actively.
Yeah.
He hates the inflatable ring, tries to get it off, and also his neck is too long for it to work so he can still get to the boo-boo. So he's back in the plastic. Michael had to cut off the part that he ate and then like rewrapped it so the more overhang is on the outside. Also, like, he's supposed to be chill, but he's not. But if I'm here alone, there's just not that much I can do about it. Like, this morning he got the zoomies. And I'm like, this is a 75-pound Doberman with a giant plastic cone on. Like, I'm not going to dive on top of him. Like, I will be injured if I try and stop him. So I just, like, sat down, and luckily he came to me and just, like, wanted pets. And I was like, you've got to chill, please, for the love of God. But the stitches look like they're, like, almost all dissolved already. So
that's good.
It's wild. He's a wild, wild boy.
I'm very excited to see him in...
Like a week and a half? 2 weeks?
Week and a half, yeah.
Yay.
Goodness. I am so fucking ready for a vacation.
Yeah.
2 weeks I'm going to be out of work, and I am going to, I'm going to delete my apps. I'm deleting everything.
What apps are you deleting?
My email.
Okay, my your work-related teams. Apps.
Yeah. All apps on my phone.
I just thought you were like, I'm deleting Instagram. And I was like, no, you're not.
That's, no, nothing. That's not, absolutely not nothing. I'm deleting my messages app. It's just going to be a phone. No music. Just, what is that? The raw, I'm raw dogging life is what God. I'm going to do. I'm going to have a phone, but there's no way anyone can contact me and my phone does nothing.
Well, I mean, are you both going to have international when you're traveling? Or just one of you?
It's really not expensive with AT&T. Okay. It's like, I don't remember what we did for when we were in Europe, but we both did it for that period of time. We just turned it on. We were only going to bring like 2 credit cards, something like that. Nothing crazy. Definitely very excited. Speaking of Instagram, it's been really tough because Instagram is telling me all the people that have liked my comment on our video. Mm-hmm. And I want to go look at the comments.
Yeah, no, you can't. Someone's already commented spoilies on it.
Oh, no.
It's fine. Just don't go look at it.
All right, I won't. But I've been avoiding it. So if you are all listening out there and you want to see more sweet, sweet videos, bug Kelsey about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't do it. I got some shout outs. You have some shout outs?
I do. We got a delightful email this morning from Joyce.
Ooh, Joyce.
Has spoken to you on Instagram because she mentions it in the email that she spoke to you on Instagram. She is now all caught up with the podcast. And she says she's happy to now watch one episode and listen to an episode with us because now she can catch up on her other podcasts and shows that she's doing. So she does Scandal, Boy Meets World, and just those two. Yeah. The Scandal podcast and the Boy Meets World podcast, which are with the casts of those shows. So they're obviously full of spoilers.
Right.
So very different. Also, she says she's also a huge Hamilton fan and
yes, loves
all the Hamilton references. And also wants me to tell you that she plays Pokemon Go as well.
Oh, wait, message me, add me. Let's be friends.
And then she said that she went through and listed several things she liked about the podcast and says she does not like it when we burp into the microphone because she has that thing where people like have the phobia of hearing people burp. So
I don't. So do I burp in the podcast?
Yes, we both do podcast burps.
Do we?
That's why we burp and then say podcast burp.
Oh, yeah.
So sorry. That's fair. Also do podcast yawns.
I actually just messaged her right now and I said, we're reading your email live on the podcast right now. And she goes, nice! ! I don't know what the time difference in the Netherlands is, but I'm surprised you're awake.
Yeah, I don't know either. Probably a lot. We also have a new Patreon.
Wait, what's the email?
That was... I just summed it up for you. It was very long.
Oh, man. Okay, send it to me. I want to read it later.
No.
Okay.
I'll make sure that it's clear, and then I will send it to you.
Okay.
And then we have a new Patreon member, and I just don't know your real name, so I have to say only your Patreon and Discord name, which is Fairy Space Nuff, which is hilarious and made both Fair me enough. And Harmon chuckle a lot.
Yes, I do love that. I love that a lot. Yeah, who will the real Fairy Nuff please stand up?
Yeah.
Or Flutter, if you've fairy wings.
So,
but shout out, welcome to the Patreon and the Discord.
What were your shout outs?
I have number one. I want to shout out Mo. Just incredible art that she's been posting. When you listen to this, I want you to check your Instagram because I want to know how I can get some custom dice. I'm trying to support a friend here and I'm trying to get some custom dice made.
Dice or is she?
Yes, in her Instagram picture, she had like made or on her Instagram page.
Those were
she had like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I don't know the mugs that she was firing.
Well, yeah, but I went to her page because I think you shared her Instagram reel on our page and or on our reels, and then because she listens to the podcast while doing art, which is incredible. So hopefully true. It creates some inspiration. I also want to shout out Sam K, who added me, and I messaged her. She just finished season 2, episode 17, which is the Dylan bomb episode. And she loves hearing all the predictions. And I think that she just did find the podcast here. And I said, I love that time that I killed Dylan. And I'm sorry to everyone that happened. So she'll see that shout out in a couple years when she reaches us. And then I do want to shout out Callista.
Yes.
Just had messaged. Did she message you too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just know that we care. We care about you. So just, you know, don't ever worry about like, you know, kind of being falling off the face of the earth a little bit, because we still care. So don't ever worry about that. Brianna sent me the Suits podcast stuff. There's been a lot there. She knows how much we love the show. Gonna shout out Amber, who also lives in Spain, and she was like, where in Spain are you gonna be? And I was like, it's like 4 hours away from her, but I did say that she should come to where I'm gonna be so that we could take a selfie together, and I just don't think that that's gonna be possible. So, and then I think that's it. I think I'm caught up on my shout outs. Shout out me for being awesome.
Oh god.
Shout out to all the Discord folks. It's been a lot of engaging conversations, a lot of fun stuff there.
So true, we love it.
Angie has been on a roll. I love Angie.
Angie's so funny.
Your spot bokeh thing definitely is alive in our texts here.
Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? We didn't shout it out, but we had said something about you said something about getting on all the channels that didn't have you, but you said like all the channels where we say we hate Carmen, and then Katya was like, we also have a handshake about how much we hate Carmen. So funny.
Yeah, that's still it still messes with my FOMO, Katya, so thank you for that.
So good.
Also, Alicia posted our prediction chart.
Yeah,
so
for season 6.
Yes,
which is really cool.
So good. I love it. There's a
sometimes
lot of
sometimes I
good.
Look at that and I'm like, are we too nice? I think you know what, I don't think we're too nice. I think there's just not, season 6 was so good, there's just like not a lot of, because I was like, oh dang, these are so low, but the lowest that anything got was a 3.
Yeah,
so I'm just like, season 6 was so good, there was multiple 5s,
and I think all of our 5s we were aligned on.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And even the one where it was the low point, we were pretty aligned on. We're mostly aligned.
Yeah.
On everything. There is some deviation in the earlier episodes, but I think our dips are pretty similar.
Season 1 and, well, 4. Season 4 was where we had the biggest disagreement, because I had that episode that I gave under a 3 and you gave it a 5.
I can't find those. The rest of those. I only see season 6.
Yeah, she only posted season 6.
Oh, you have the other ones? She
no,
sent it
I
to you?
No, I just know in my brain.
Oh, okay.
That in season 4. Well, in season 1, things were different because you didn't want to give anything a 5.
Yeah.
And I know in season 4 was when there was intestines in the hand. And, you know, just the dumbest thing in the world, so.
Yeah, especially, the hard part is I gave that a 5 before I knew Gary Clark existed, so. For at that time, it was a 5. But now, in hindsight, everything needs to be adjusted.
No, just that moment was a 5.
All right. Well, let's talk about a podcast.
Let's. Or we should talk about a show.
Let's talk about a podcast. Let's just talk about our podcast. Also, why is the friend group just incessant about my love of the Cybertruck? They cannot.
It's
you guys,
so ugly, Carmen.
No, like, it's not.
It's so ugly. It looks everyone, like a trash can and a refrigerator pooped out a baby.
Everyone can just suck on a butt.
No one will. The Cybertrucks are too busy doing that because that's what they look like. They're so ugly.
Stupid.
And they're so dumb. And they are broken. Anyways. Podcast burp. Sorry, Joyce. Okay, this is episode 11 of the 7th season, episode 137 overall.
Wait, this is episode 711. Why aren't we having Slurpees?
I don't know.
7-Eleven day. Oh, man.
It is actually almost 7-Eleven day. We are recording this on the 9th.
Dude, oh, really missed opportunity!
If we record the Patreon stuff on Thursday, we can get Slurpees.
Oh, yeah. 7-Eleven day. Let's do it.
Okay. So this episode...
We'll just talk about terrible experiences that happen in 7-Elevens.
This episode is called Disarm, and that's a song.
It is a song. Disarm is a song by the Smashing Pumpkins. It was a single off of their album, The Siamese Dream, released in 1993. This specific song did do well in the charts, but I want to also talk about the album, and I want to talk about the Smashing Pumpkins in general because they're one of the gems of Chicago. So this particular song reached as high in the top 100 in a couple of countries here. So Australia, number 16, Canada, 13, Europe, 35, New Zealand, 29, the UK, 11, the US Billboard, 48. And then it reached number 8 in the alternative Billboard charts, and then number 5 in the mainstream rock charts. At the end of the year, it remained in the top 30 in 2 separate United States track charts in the rock and modern rock. So the song itself did very well, but the album... Sorry. Where did this go? Oh, no. Oh, God. Siamese Dream.
Amazing.
The album itself, I wanted to share the charting here. So it reached as high as top 10 in Australia, Canada, New Zealand, the UK, and just cracked the Billboard 200 at number 10. So the album itself was, I think... This is credited to a lot of people. The first song, Cherub Rock, is the one that kind of is listed as the song that brought the Smashing Pumpkins kind of into the mainstream. So Billy Corgan, shout out. Don't really love him, but he's okay. The song, for me being a Chicagoan, subjectively is a 5.
Here we go.
Objectively, thank you. Objectively is a 3, but I also don't. I subjectively don't love the Smashing Pumpkins.
That was my follow up question because I know you had mentioned before your stance on them, but I could not recall.
They're just okay. I think that they're Fall Out Boy is better if we're going to go heavyweights of Chicago. The song was a 3. It did not get added to my iTunes playlist, but it is, I think everyone kind of knows this song. Like you hear it. If you've listened to any TV show that existed or was played during the 2000s, you know this song. So, I think it probably makes it into a lot of TV shows and movies. So, but that's it. That's all I got.
Okay. This episode was written by Krista Viernoff. It was directed by Debbie Allen. It aired January 6th, 2011. And we're in 2011 now.
Wow.
We started so long ago. Look at us now.
It's crazy. What was the first episode? The first episode was 2005?
Five or six? I should know this. 4. It just had... Fact check.
We don't like fact checking ourselves live. We like to just say things and let you all fact check it for us.
So March 27, 2005.
2005. Okay, so 2005, 2011. Look at that.
Here we go. We're doing it.
Wait, would you say March 27, 2005?
Yeah.
What does that make the show? What's the show's astrological sign?
Pisces.
Nope.
Scorpio? Think Aries. No, it's not a Scorpio. Carmen. God, you're dumb.
I know what the Scorpios are. Also, do you like
Aries.
My new standing?
Oh, I was right. I said Aries first, and then I backtracked. I was right. It was Aries. Oh, that's cute. How much was that?
Well, I got it on discount, so.
Okay. No judgment.
Wow. They're so Grey's Anatomy, Grey's Anatomy is an Aries. That's
just
crazy.
Just like Ryan.
Aww. Shout out to all of you March 27th babies.
Yes,
extra
if
points if it's
this,
March 27th, 2005.
Ew, God. If you were born in 2005, you're so young. It's offensive to me. No
that would make them 19.
Yeah, that's offensive.
But their
that's
mind
like
is older.
A newborn infant.
These New York City streets get colder and I shoulder every burden, every disadvantage. Okay.
Please stop.
I actually know every word to that song, so.
Don't you know every word to all the songs?
No, I don't. I skip over the ones where, what's her name, sings.
Carmen Hates Women. Carmen Hates Women. You
yep.
heard it here first.
Hate women. I love guns. It's my favorite episode for all the death and the murder.
No one dies in this episode.
We need more. Never mind. I'm not going to double down on this joke.
Stop.
I'm done.
There's this girl that I follow on Instagram, and she says really funny things, but she made merchandise of like some of the things that she said. And one of them is, I'm not here to apologize. I'm here to double down. And I'm just like, Carmen?
I need that. Except in this case, I'm not going to double down on, you know.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, so. This episode aired to 11.64 million views. That's fine. The Netflix synopsis.
This episode needed more views. What?
I know.
11.6. Oh, gosh.
I know. It's crazy. Okay, Netflix. A gunman opens fire at a local college, sending mass casualties to the hospital. Arizona's return is not warmly welcomed. Disagree. It mostly is by literally everyone except for Callie, so whatever.
Right.
And then,
well, Stark doesn't like her, so.
Well, that's true. And Richard is kind of a turd at first and then decides later to not be a turd.
Still kind of a turd. Can't tell at the end if he was being joking or not.
No, he was not being joking.
Okay.
Sorry, Hulu just like, you know, it's not my platform of choice. And every time I open it, it proves me right. Okay, so a gunman opened fires at a college, sending mass casualties to the hospital. So back on just stealing the front half.
Okay. Well, let's take a break and a quick message from...
Let's not do that.
So wait, when Weber says you could have your job back, but like you have to work under Stark.
Yeah.
He was being serious.
Yes. Oh, Stark still has a contract as the head of PEDS.
That sucks.
He's not going to eat that money and do like a payout.
Well, it'll be interesting to see that dynamic, but I thought he was joking. I really wasn't sure. So, okay. That dude just needs to quit. He clearly doesn't fit in, and he doesn't like it.
And he's a bad doctor.
And he's terrible.
The worst.
All right, so let's talk about the opening of this episode, and then I feel like the next hour and a half is just going to be chaos.
Yeah. So lots of sexy time in the opening.
Love it.
Everyone's in bed. Derek and Meredith are arguing. Meredith does not understand what happened on the fishing trip. Derek is not offering any clarification. But also they're trying to make a baby. So then they have angry baby making sex, which is like, that's not how you want to create life. But yeah. Also, I guess do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. It's funny because when she's like, okay, so you guys sat on a boat for 6 hours and talked about fishing. And he's like, yeah. And she goes, and then she cried. And he's like, yeah, that's not the whole story. And he's like, yes, that is the whole story. And guys, we watched this. It is the whole story.
It's on just a surface level.
Yes.
And I understand where Meredith is coming from. But also, like, if the roles had been reversed and Meredith and Christina had done something like that, or even that exact thing, and then told Derek, like, oh, Christina caught a fish and cried, and Derek asked any follow-up questions, Meredith would have been like, it's just what happened, Derek. It's just Christina. You don't understand.
Yeah.
But she's mainly mad that she's just like on the outs and like not included in whatever is going on with Christina.
Yeah. Well, it's also funny, the end of that scene. So when she says she's ovulating and then she's like, I'm too mad to even look at you. And then Derek's like, well, then roll over.
Yeah.
It's funny. But we get some cute sexy times from two other couples.
Christina and Owen are snuggling, canoodling. He says she seems better and she's like, I feel better. Like, I'm going to go sightseeing today. Like, I've never given a shit about the city before. Why not go and look at it now? Mm-hmm. And so she departs.
No time like the present.
And then Lexi and Mark are being precious little canoodlers as well.
What happened? That's right. At the end of last episode, she goes to get a drink with him. They look at each other. Kiss?
Yep.
They kiss. Yes. I had forgotten that going into this episode. Mm. I had to think about that.
Yeah. They kissed.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. They're just being cute, like not wanting to get out of bed because they've been apart and now they're back together.
Mm.
So precious. They're in love.
Mark and Lexi sitting in a tree. F-U-C-K.
Okay. Time to settle down.
No, but am I wrong?
Trees. No one fucks in trees, Carmen. You're going to look at me and tell birds. Me I'm wrong, bro.
Grow up.
Grow up, Doug.
That's my favorite part about that whole scene. He's being a child and yells at poor
He's
Doug.
So mad. Doug grow is laughing. Up. Poor Doug. Doug's just like, why are you angry?
Oh, goodness. Because she came down on a bubble, you know?
A fucking bubble. Who's her sister? The Wicked Witch of the East, bro. Okay.
And then Teddy. Teddy does... Oh, wait, no. Hold on. Yeah. So, Callie to Arizona, she's like, you stayed here all night? And she's like, well, no. I'm not an idiot. No. I went home. I slept, I showered, I ate, and I came back here early. The extent of my grand gesture was getting here. I was not going to lay on a floor all night.
Well, I feel like also someone who other people in the apartment complex might have been like, hey, get out of our hallway.
Right.
Callie tells Arizona to go back to Africa, Malawi. She's not in a very forgiving place right now, which is fine. I don't forgive very often, so I understand. Mm-hmm. I love to hold a grudge. What are your thoughts on there? When you saw, like, where did you think the storyline was going to go when the episode started?
I didn't think we were going to get resolution in this episode. But I didn't think that we would have Callie kind of like
tell her to leave.
Yeah. Doubling down on that. And we'll get to that more because that end scene is good. And I think there's a couple of moments where they, as the writers are very much leading you to like, hey, don't get too comfy. Like nothing's going to happen. So I think they're kind of setting the stage, but I could be wrong. But then we also get Teddy and Henry. And is Owen Teddy's best man? Is that what I'm...
Her
man of honor?
That's right, the witness is here. So I've recently learned that different states have different laws on, like, witnesses and stuff like that. There are certain states where you can self-marry. So, like, literally, you and Jessica could just, like, go...
Get a post-it note?
Stand somewhere and just sign whatever, the marriage license. And you don't need the witness. And then there are some places where you can just do it with like the person performing the ceremony, the officiant. And then there are some places where you have to have a certain number of witnesses. Different states have different rules.
I mean, it makes sense to not have weddings under duress.
Yeah.
So I'm all for non-coerced weddings.
So, yes, Teddy calls Owen and is like, yo, I'm getting married. Can you come here real quick? And so he goes to meet up with them and they get married real fast.
Yeah.
And Teddy gets paid. She's like, oh, I'm late for work. Can we not just get to the end? So yeah. Romantic.
And then the last thing we get is Christina going, and she's like, I'm going to sightsee. I need directions to the Space Needle. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't make it because the Derek Shepherd knockoff lookalike on a bicycle points her in the direction, and she sees the ambulances, and she becomes entranced and walks that way.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I know there are a lot of establishing shots, quote unquote, in the show. Did they not make it seem like the Space Needle is right by that hospital?
I don't think I felt like that.
Okay. I believe you. That's just kind of because they just show the Space Needle all the time. But I guess I just in my head was like,
it's like
I
a very
right
Seattle. Like, see, it's like if you were doing establishing shots of Chicago, I'm sure there'd be a lot of
Bean.
Sears Tower, John Hancock, Bean.
Mostly Bean.
Yeah. All Bean.
Exclusively Bean.
Yeah, there's a New York Twitter account that's about the Empire State Building. That's throwing shade.
It's so fucking funny.
But like,
I don't know why. Like, I would love to know how this quote unquote feud started, but
the Bean versus the Empire State Building, and also New York. You just now in the year 2024 have established that we don't need to throw our garbage on the street anymore. Your city's a dump and second class pizza holding. I don't know what you want from
Carmen,
the Bean, but it is magnificant.
This. Chicago pizza is not good. How many times we have to have this conversation?
Okay. I don't think we have enough time in this podcast to have this conversation. But also, to be fair, I'm going to say this. All the things I said were just out of anger. I don't actually mean them. New York, I'm sure, is a fine place.
I'm not here to apologize. I'm here to double down.
It's one of the motherland of my people, the Italians, and but it is second class pizza. I've never been to New York City.
Majority choice pizza.
Chicago. That's what I said.
No. New York's most people eat New York pizza.
Wow. There are a lot of people out there who don't have refined palates, and we can't hold that against them.
Pizza melted in a bowl of soup.
We're going to go ahead and take a quick message from our sponsors, and then we're going to get into the rest of the episode.
It's fine.
We're doing great. All right, we'll be right back. Hopefully you guys like our ads. And we are back. We're back.
Here we are.
Christina jumps into an ambulance.
Well, they don't show that happening. So she follows.
No, yeah. She's like, crack his chest, crack his chest, crack his chest.
Yeah. She hears the guy say whatever the issue is. He's not the guy has like no heartbeat. And she's like, oh, you need to crack his chest. And then it cuts to the title card. So your original prediction was that she was going to like MacGyver something on the side of the road. So did you think that's where this was going?
Yes. As soon as I saw her going towards the ambulance, I thought that because I think I also predicted that there was going to be a trauma that she was going to be a part of that she couldn't resist getting back into.
Right.
I was
but
hoping it wasn't. Yeah.
Sorry, once you had said like it, not in the hospital, like she was going to like MacGyver was what you said more than once.
Yeah. So I think that she MacGyvered the chest cracking because she wasn't in a surgical setting, but maybe she used a pen and a piece
they
of printer paper.
They probably would have
paper.
Told us if oh. she did that. But I do see it's definitely in the field
yes.
versus like in the OR.
Yes. So I feel good with that. It seems like she's back and it seems like she's finally at a good point. Obviously, we're going to get to this, but it seems like there's a good point with Meredith. When we figure out who this person is and the surgeries continue and she gets into the hospital, like there's a lot of moving parts here. This episode handles, I think, a lot of topics
yeah.
that have been on my mind really, really well. But yeah, I'm glad to see Christina in action.
Yes, it is nice to see her back in the hospital with the people doing what we are so used to seeing her do and doing it well. I agree that it addresses certain things well, the episode. Do you want to, I mean, I don't even know.
I figured we kind of just, we could take things in order. Because there's a lot of individual patients. The wife of the professor is a famous person. Yes.
Maybe.
Mrs. Sturgeon.
I mean, I know who you're talking about.
I feel like I've seen her face.
She's in Shondaland.
Whoa, easy.
Shondaland.
Let me see. I'll pull it up and see if you know her from anything else.
Yeah, I don't wanna jinx myself. But so anyway, so we've got the big character conversations are around the 15-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
The
Chuck, aka Charles.
Chuck Charles. Oh,
which obviously was like a specific choice they've made.
Man, yeah. Spoiler alert: daggers to the heart on that scene.
Oh yeah, that's
good. John, the professor, the shooter,
and
Faz.
And the
shooter's mom. And there's another, is there another surgery?
Did you watch Chicago Med?
I've watched episodes, I think, of Chicago. She's in that show?
She was in one episode of Suits.
Okay.
12 episodes of Chicago Med.
Okay.
So
maybe I knew her from Suits.
Did you watch Heroes? She was in two
episodes
of Heroes.
Yes, I watched
Heroes.
She was in
two episodes of Heroes.
Okay. Heroes was a show that the writer's strike really ruined that show. That show.
Yeah, I feel like I remember people saying that.
Oh, man.
It didn't really recover from the writer's strike.
And to be clear, the writers were justified to go on strike, but the timing of that really, like, the show never was able to recover. The arc was completely ruined. They did like a spinoff. It was weird.
You know where you know her from?
Where?
The newest Spider-Man, No Way Home. She's like the person that Peter Parker goes to talk to in the car to be like, please let my friends in MIT. It's not my fault.
Oh,
or
yeah.
It's not their fault that I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And
he, that's
like,
her.
Saves her. That's where you know her from.
Yeah.
Figured it out.
There it is. Yeah, that's it. I was like, I know her.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she was never in Psych or Burn Notice or.
No.
Okay.
None of the other USA shows.
Oh, that's a bummer.
She's fine.
Yeah. She's doing all right for herself, I think.
Yeah.
All right. So the way that the storyline starts is obviously very emotional. So this is, we're establishing this is 6 months after Gary Clark.
Which also the reality TV show was also 6 months after Gary Clark. So
the what?
No time. The reality TV show. But that they did was supposed to be 6 months later.
Oh, okay. Right. So, well, this happens the day after, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Timelines. So I like that Weber kind of starts it out. And he's like, this, like, our own trauma is still fresh. I get that. We went through this 6 months ago. They're going through this now.
Yeah.
They're our brothers and sisters. They're our own. We will work first to save lives, and we will have our feelings later.
Yeah. I thought that was very well said. And also, like it's worth acknowledging, obviously, that this is something they went through, and it's okay to have the feelings. But like, it's one of those things. I feel like it's really hard. It's a fine line to walk anytime anyone goes through like a trauma, and you like want to be able to relate without like making them feel as though you're just trying to make it about you. Does that make sense? Like, if something terrible happens to you and you're talking to me about it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened to me, too. Okay, we're not talking about me. So it's like one of those things where it's like, let that person, like, there are ways, obviously, to relate to people and share experiences in a way that is helpful. But it's sometimes you just have to let people live in their own moment before you can kind of step in and be like, well, this is what I did.
Yeah. And, you know, here's something that I hadn't really thought about and given credit to until right now. While I was watching this episode, everyone's going through their own trauma, but you know who we haven't seen process trauma is Weber. And ultimately, that guy watched a man kill himself in front of him.
That man convinced a man to kill himself in front of him.
To save others.
Yeah.
But still watched it happen. Yeah. I don't know why in my head, like, I've been like, man, yeah, Weber's fine because he was outside the whole time with Marty.
The return of Marty.
The return of Marty.
What a good way to do that, honestly. Like,
yeah.
Because him and
when they acknowledge
him and Weber,
it too.
Yeah. Him and Weber are like, it's a good dynamic to watch.
When all the other cops are like, Weber, do you know Marty? And he goes, yeah, we keep meeting.
Sarge?
I don't know why that, like, that hit me while I was watching this episode, because we get another kind of like a resolution with one trauma kind of, mm-hmm. and then we see a new verbalization of Meredith's trauma.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which you and I have mentioned multiple times that
yes.
she like immediately falls into the, like, I'm going to take care of everyone else mode.
Yes.
And you would expect, if anyone's going to check on her, it would be Derek and Christina. And to her point, they don't. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, when Weber's talking about that, like, they're kind of waiting for everything to come in. Lexi's like not able to get it together. And Mark is saying, dude, this is not a shameful thing, but I need you to go to the blood bank right now.
Well,
all
it's also like,
the
this
O-neg.
Is something you can do actively that will be very
correct.
Helpful. Like,
correct.
It's not just sending her away.
Yeah.
It's like being helpful and giving her a moment to like process and prepare. Cause it's going to be a long day.
Yeah. Weber gets the first one. So mm-hmm. we get Marty back.
That's
we find out
the Faz, the cop.
Yep. Find out that the shooter was taken down by the cop, and the cop mm-hmm. took a bullet and then radioed it in, which is like hero, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we get a couple of other patients right off the bat.
Yeah, so we get several ambulances all in a row. We get the cop, the 15-year-old, the teacher who fell out of the window, and then Christina with the guy who ends up being the shooter, which we find out a little bit later. So the 15-year-old was shot and the femoral artery is damaged, which is like the big, it's essentially like a carotid artery in your leg. It's like the biggest artery. Like if you cut it, you can lose enough blood to die very quickly. So it's an important like vein, blood vessel in your body for survival. And so also, she goes to college because she's a genius. That's the they make the point of being like that of saying that.
Yeah, I think who was it the person who
the
brought
paramedic,
in?
I think.
Yeah, it goes 15-year-old genius. This is what it gets her, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Alex is with her, obviously, and Stark, unfortunately, who is still a piece of garbage.
Still a piece of
garbage. And so he is immediately like, I'll just be super lazy and just fucking cut off this girl's leg. To which Alex is like, I don't think that is correct.
Yeah, he says right off the bat, like, Torres can fix that. And he's like, well, I think her parents will be more impressed with the life part than the leg part. And Frank, or he was a, they'll care more, not impressed. They'll care more about her being alive than having the leg. And Alex is like, dude, like.
But it's not a choice. Like,
right.
Why are you making it one or the other? Okay, so typically in the medical field and like just in general, like first aid and life saving things, you're taught life over limb, right? If I'm like looking at someone and I'm like, well, I can do this and their leg will be okay, but they might die. Well, then, like, do the thing that just saves them. And, like, they'll be fine because they'll be alive.
Right.
And so that's kind of how, like, the mindset is. But in this scenario, it doesn't seem like there needs to be the choice because both can be done. It's just he's being lazy. That was my read on it. He's like, let me just cut this leg off because she has injured her femoral artery. Even though Alex says later that she was moving her leg before they put her under. So, like, clearly it's salvageable.
Yeah. And then also too, that when they come back in and Arizona is talking to them or something, all the other people, the tech and the anesthesiologist, they're all like, yeah,
the other surgeon.
Yeah. Oh, the other surgeon. He's like, yeah, I mean, her vitals are fine. Like, she's good. Like, we're not at risk of anything crashing.
Yeah. Cause he was saying like, oh, well, she has this abdomen wound, and the guy's like, abdomen wound is stable.
Yeah. Thanks for the support, John. Fuck you, dude.
Why wouldn't you lie so I can cut off this child's leg? What is happening?
He's like, I'm trying to keep this leg. I am building something and I need a leg.
Literally. He's just garbage.
Oh, man. And that's the scene where Alex yells up at Arizona. He's like, can you freaking do something?
Yeah. Yeah. And so Arizona tells Alex to body block him and then goes and gets privileges from Weber, who's like, yeah, obviously, like, there's a fucking emergency. Like, you have privileges. It's fine. And so that's when she gets Callie and she's like, hey, I got to go get scrubs. Go meet me in this OR. So Callie gets there. Alex is like, this is the situation. And she's like, yeah, I can obviously fix this. It's like not even difficult. I can do this in my sleep because
I'm that good.
And so she kicks Stark out and then she also is like, Alex, there's other problems. Like, go help in the pit. And he's like, that is fine. I have done my one good deed for the day of saving her leg.
What did he say? He's like, I was an all-American wrestler. You can't get past me, dude. Yeah,
he's like, saw or not, you're not getting past me. I'm like, yes, Alex.
Oh, goodness. I want to kind of jump ahead a little bit to the scene later where Stark goes to Weber. And he's like, did you give Dr. Robbins permission to steal my patient and embarrass me and humiliate me in the OR? Like, no, he didn't give her permission to do that, but you did that all yourself, dude. Like,
he gave her permission to save lives, which is something you're like, not, you don't give a shit about. Cause then he says, well, I'll go back to my OR. And he's like, bitch, people are dying. Like, go be a fucking doctor.
Yeah, go somewhere else.
Shut up with your... And, like, Callie even says, she's like, you're new here, but we take shootings personally, so fuck off. Yeah. I will save this kid's leg.
Yeah. He doesn't even go here. He's not one of us. He's
literally the worst.
I hate him.
I do, too.
Even at the end, he's like, what is wrong? I hate all you people. Doesn't he say that? He says, I hate you people?
I hate this place.
I hate this place.
Why? Oh. Because they have trauma? Jesus. Oh, so rude.
Yeah, he sucks. If you've got a Stark on your team, either make them quit or just get a new job.
Fucking fire them. Like, unlike what is being done here.
Yeah. That was funny. That was the way that we led up to that with Arizona getting the privileges and Alex just standing in front of him with his hands out. Like, what are you going to do? He had the saw in his hand. True. That's the funniest. I don't think I would have been as brave as Alex is. I'd be like, listen, man, I'm not losing any of my limbs.
He probably knew that Stark at the end of the day is just a big old pansy ass.
Yeah.
Not actually gonna cut him with a saw, which is good. I don't want him to cut him with a saw, but I do want him to fuck off.
Yeah. Also, I do want to mention this about that exchange when Arizona and Callie get in. Stark yells, this guy's throwing away his career about Alex. Like, no, he's not. How is he?
He's saving somebody.
Oh, goodness. And then he so puts annoying. Down the saw, he throws his hands up, and he's like, wow, wow. This is crazy. And leaves.
Never in my whole blah, blah, blah. Shut up. People are dying.
Well, I never in my whole life.
Clutching the pearls. I truly can't.
Oh, gosh.
I hate him. Anyways. Callie tries to talk. No, Arizona tries to talk to Callie. And Callie's like, nope. You're not going to hold me hostage in this OR while I try and save a kid's life.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my work and you're going to hush your face.
Goodness. Yeah, that just is the worst.
He really is. I don't like it. It's not enjoyable to watch. I don't really understand the point of dragging it out. And again, it'd be one thing if he's just a dick.
Right.
But I will say this forever. He's also a bad doctor. So it is confusing to me.
Yeah, we haven't seen anything good or redeeming from him.
Correct.
Which is interesting because all of these characters in the show, they like throw sprinkles at you every mm-hmm. once in a while. They're like, yeah, Alex sucks, but also he can do nice things when no one is watching. Or, yeah, George is a freaking loser, but apparently he's a genius at some things. Like,
yeah.
Like they give these redeemable traits to people.
Yeah.
What have we gotten for this guy? Nothing.
Nothing.
So far.
Quite literally nothing. He likes tiramisu. But, oh, you know, yeah. that's it, I guess.
If he ever even got to it. Meredith yeah, ruined
we'll
it all.
We'll never know. So, yeah, he sucks, asshole.
Yeah. And not in a good way.
Yeah, in a bad way.
Yeah.
So,
during all of that, Derek and Meredith.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. Fucking Derek.
Bokey is with them.
Yeah.
And now that I know who she is, I see her. I yes. see her now.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to miss that little woman. She does great.
So cute.
And she's got some. She really acts through the eyes. You know,
she does. Mm-hmm. So true.
A lot of facial expressions there. So you want to walk okay. us through? Yeah, walk us through like yeah. what's going on with Derek's patient.
So Derek and Meredith have the teacher who was helping students climb out of a fourth story window to get onto the roof. And then he fell and landed on his head, which is bad. Four stories and you land on your head. Incredible that he's alive. Like that he even comes in alive.
Incredible that they're only focusing on his brain and there's no neck or spinal injuries.
I guess he landed just right. I don't know. I don't know. So his wife gets there and Meredith goes to update her. And... at first it's fine, and then Derek becomes increasingly annoyed that Meredith wants to update this woman, which, like, does not make sense to me. That is the only thing with me that feels kind of disjointed, is that he's like, since when do you want to be a social worker? Why do you care so much about updating the patients? I'm like, because she's good at her job? I don't understand the question.
Well, it is interesting as well, because the first like two seasons, you get Bailey kind of forcing these guys to work on their bedside manner. Like being mm-hmm. a doctor is not all about the cutting. It's about mm-hmm. doctoring, too. And this interaction becomes the medium at which we kind of see that Meredith is not actually 100% okay.
Right. So she goes to tell the wife. Well, they are about to scrub and the wife gets there. Meredith's like, I'm going to go tell her what's going on. And no issue. Derek's like, that's fine. And so she comes back and it's later on that she like continuously is like checking the clock, seeing how long it's been and saying like, I want to go. I want to make sure the wife stays updated. And that at first he's like, why do you care? Like, why are you a social worker? Blah, blah, blah. And then the second or third time is when it really becomes an issue. And he like name calls her because she says that's not the whole story, which is obviously a callback to the beginning of the episode when she says it's not the whole story, blah, blah, whatever. And then he says, you don't get to be a brat in my OR, which like, why are we name calling
in front like, of everyone?
Yes, which I will say, I like that they actually acknowledge that
it was awkward for everyone
yeah,
else.
That there was like an audience
yeah
for this marital spat because there always is and they don't normally acknowledge it. So I was glad that he did like look around and be like, oh fuck, like all these people saw that. So the patient's brain swells more, so they end up taking out both sides of his skull to like allow the brain to swell and heal on its own, and then they like freeze those pieces and then put them back on later. And so when they decide to take out the second, that's when Meredith is like, I'm gonna go update the wife. And that's when Derek says, why are you so interested in updating the wife in the waiting room? And Meredith says, since I was the wife in the waiting room, which is a good point.
It's a great point.
And clearly something that man has not thought about, because yes, Christina saved his life, but like how much does he know of what happened when he was shot? You know what I mean? Like, does he know that Meredith told the shooter to shoot her? I mean, I feel like he probably does because everyone else knows. So I feel like surely Derek would know. Also, yeah. If he doesn't know and he has no response when he's told, that's fucked up. So I feel like he does know. Obviously, he knows about the miscarriage because she did tell him that. But it's just Christina's trauma is being processed differently. Everyone's trauma is being processed differently, which is normal and fine because everyone processes trauma differently. But Meredith says, you and Christina are the only one. Like, do you think you and Christina are the only ones who have been through a trauma? Like, you're so busy supporting each other. Have you even noticed that I went through a trauma too? I was the wife in the waiting room, and it's so hard to be the wife in the waiting room that I walked into the OR while the shooter had a gun to you and told him to shoot me instead. And then, yeah, I like love that line so much when she's like, I'm going to go update my patient.
Yeah, it's tough. I would say there's no winners in that engagement. It's just two losers. Like, yeah. Derek was being insensitive, and I think a bit high-roady and, like, know-it-all-y, that, like, I'm the doctor here. This is not the time that you should be doing this. Like, you just need to listen and do it exactly what I'm saying in my OR, mm-hmm. right? And then Meredith is like, well, no, I'm going to update the patient. And I think that she was out of line getting so personal and snapping the way that she did. Derek also doesn't need to call her a brat in front of other fellow doctors and nurses.
Or at all. The name call in general.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, there's no, but us as the audience, I think it's been just enough time that they've kind of gone without talking about Meredith's trauma, that I think as audiences and kind of where, like, me as my perspective, I'm sitting there going like, oh shit. Like, yeah, Meredith did, like, what has Meredith, how has she processed? Like, what, this is a great reminder that it hasn't been at the forefront. We haven't been constantly reminded that, you know, like, Jackson is screaming in the middle of the night and having nightmares, and Lexi was in the psych ward, and everyone had, like, their these different things, but Meredith was just okay. So she
started her miscarriage. Taking care we of everyone see
that else. She's taking care of everyone else. Yeah. So heavy scene, but good scene. Yeah. But yeah, maybe professionally inappropriate all around.
Yeah, and then Derek is like, obviously, their actual relationship was an issue. Like, how would this look if it was just two colleagues disagreeing? Yeah. But it's obviously, like, the drama of it is they're going to show that it's more than that. So I'm obviously very against Derek in this scene and most of this episode, and on board with Meredith. I will say I wish she had taken a different moment to be like, hey, I also had a trauma and, like, could use your support in my processing and journey, because it does feel like she's just using it at this point to make a point. And I do feel like she deserves her husband's support and attention as far as, like, processing her own situation. But I just feel like I wish it had been presented in a different way. But by the same token, like, when you're going through something, you're going to go through it however you want. And you're not necessarily ready to just, like, tell people that you need help. So it's hard to say. But yeah, Derek sucks.
I don't think he handled the situation great, but I would say overall, this episode really is not terrible for, I don't think any of our main characters here has a terrible episode. There's some confusing pieces. Looking at you, Teddy. But
I have no issue with Teddy in this episode.
But I don't think there's... Well, and Stark. But he's, you know, he's a piece
I have of poop. Almost exclusively issues with Derek in this episode. Like, I don't find him to be that redeemable in this episode at all. Because even later on, he basically takes credit for Christina being there.
So I didn't interpret it that way. However, you're entitled to your opinion because we're friends.
And because I know what I'm talking about.
Let's
Carmen
take
hates women. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll talk about the rest of it in the next episode, and we'll start with everyone's favorite segment.